We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to another episode of The Pod is the Roof, the Field of 68's very own UNC basketball podcast. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Riley Davis. And of course, it's me, JK, Jacob Karabatsis, as always. What a weekend, man. UNC continues to thrash the competition. My co-host is hype because we are recording this on Tuesday and his Tampa Bay Buccaneers absolutely demolished the Philadelphia Eagles last night. So I might have to let him get about a minute of thoughts off on that. But before we get into anything, man, got to give a shout out to you guys on the YouTube, on the pod feed. Y'all are going crazy, man. The support has been absolutely fantastic. Keep the comments coming, keep the likes coming, keep the views coming. We're trying to be entertaining for y'all, man, give y'all our UNC thoughts all the time. You know, it's great, though. You guys are really coming in hard these last few episodes, making me and Riley feel good, man.
I agree. It's cool seeing we've hit over 1,000 views on YouTube on the last two videos. Let's try to make it 3 in a row. Keep sharing it, keep subscribing. And Twitter following's growing as well. I think we're a ways away from our goal of 1,000 on the season, 1,000 followers on the Twitter account. But hey, little step every time, little step day by day. As Roy Williams always says, Rome wasn't built in a day, but it was worked on every day. So, you know, we appreciate all the fan support, appreciate all the positive feedback we've been getting. So, and keep tuning in. It helps us out a lot.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, we love doing it. And also, you really want to stay tuned because here soon, we'll be having a mid-season mailbag, so get active with questions because we'll be ready to answer every single one of them. But before we get into everything, do you have any – I'll give you your one shining moment of grace. Do you have any Bucks thoughts that you would like to get off right quick?
I do. For one, as those who are watching the YouTube or the Twitter stream, I'm rocking a Levante David jersey. And you can tell from the logo on the top, I got this jersey pre the alarm clock numbers jerseys that were so hideous before the Bucks went back to this current, like the current uniform they have with some slight tweaks on it. And I'm just going to say Levante David has been the most slept on linebacker for the better part of a decade. The man is in his mid 30s, still playing at an all pro level. He had a couple huge tackles for losses against the Eagles last night. The defense, you know, my one concern, they need to blitz to get pressure. They weren't really able to pressure Hurts on the four-man front. But at the same time, they all look so connected. They're hyping each other up on the sidelines. Baker is, I mean, again, with the caveat, it was a Matt Patricia coach defense for the Eagles. But Baker was just, he was slinging the rock. He's playing great ball right now. Looked way different than he did the final 2 weeks of the season when it was clear he had an injury. So I'm excited to have the heels demolition of Syracuse. Plus the Bucks blowing out the Eagles, it made for quite the weekend for me. Shout out to the Meek Mill meme. That's kind of hard to say. Meek Mill meme. I used to pray for times like this because that's how I feel right now. We got Carolina top five team projected as a one seed in a lot of brackets on Bracket Matrix. My Bucks are in the second round of the playoffs. Get a good team, but a beatable team in the Lions this upcoming weekend. Yes, I used to pray for times like this.
Hey, listen, man. As a Patriots fan, I understand, because now I'm in the down bad phase of my fandom. So I've been up, now I've been down. And, you know, while we're on the topic of what we're wearing, I always wear UNC gear. If you watch the UNC feed, you know that. But today we had to switch it up and rock some Celtics gear. You know, my guys are 31-9. We're cooking. So, all right, it's time to get into our guys, man, because it just continues to get more and more astonishing. Actually, I lied. It's to the point where I'm not even astonished anymore. I just kind of expect this to happen, which is a dangerous, dangerous road to start traveling down. But yeah, so 103-67 against Syracuse. It was an absolute bloodbath. I mean, it was, there was never a point in time where the game was close. So many great things. Like, shout out to the W's off the bench, the Withers and Washington connection. Absolutely elite. Hubert, I knew we meant business when the game was 7-3 and Hubert started pressing. I was like, oh, so he's trying to get out of here early today. Okay. And then for the students, you got some biscuits, man. So it's always a good day when you get some biscuits. But I mean, gosh, I don't even know where to start here. So I'll let you start. Like, what, not even just this game, like just this team in general, dude, like what are the takeaways right now?
The biggest thing that I'm coming back taking away from this game after watching it this past Saturday is I'm sure UNC is going to lose a dumb game sooner or later. That happens in conference play. We're not going to panic when it happens. Shout out to Field of 68 meet. I'm stumbling over my words today. I'm too excited. Shout out to the Field of 68 social media team, because we will not be concerned about the Heels when they drop a dumb game. There will be no concerns. But at right now, it seems like this team is not having any letdowns, which I think is huge. Like, you look at three straight road games, three straight double-digit wins, and it was sort of culminated with that road win at NC State. They turn around a few days later, coming off of a rivalry game, coming off of the high of just dismantling the Wolfpack in their own building, and they don't even let Syracuse get to like the under 12 or the under 8 timeout with any hope. I looked away, full disclosure, I looked away from my TV for 2 minutes. I had something going on. I think it was like 28-16. I came back, it was 34-16, and it's like that snowball quickly. Like, when you see a team in the 30s compared to a team in the teens, there's just something mentally where it starts to feel like it's over. I love that in the second half too, you know, Syracuse, I think, had a little 8-0 run to cut the lead to 15, and Carolina responded with a 21-4 run. And it seems like this team's spurred ability really on both ends of the floor, whether it's first forcing turnovers, getting out and running, or just whether it's RJ Davis or Harrison Ingram or even Armando getting some buckets down low, they're able to put up points in a hurry. It's so fun to watch. It feels like a very complete team. And it just is, they have far exceeded any expectations I've had already. And it's only mid-January.
Yeah. I mean, I've got some, I guess some people would call them even crazier thoughts that I'm going to talk about later about this. Because I'm not so sure that we've even seen the best version yet, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. You already know, I just have to give a shout out to our boy Jalen Withers, man. I mean, he actually had like a really, really, really good game. Like 14 minutes, 10-6-1, 4-5. He didn't take a three. He still didn't hit one. But like, if we can just get that type of little 12-14 minute stretch from him or Washington on a nightly basis, like I feel really good about things. RJ, of course, doing RJ things, but this is the question I want to ask you, is like, is it not scary to you that they're doing this and scoring 103 points while like shooting very underwhelming numbers from the field?
I think I want to say they might have been at 49% for the game. Shout out to both of our dogs right now on the YouTube stream. The dogs are the roof. for those watching, you're getting some live looks at both my dog and JK's dog at the same time.
Yes, and my dog is an old lady, so she has to be picked up to get let down from my bed.
Mine is a spry. He's three, but he still has puppy energy. It's very frustrating sometimes. I really
hey man,
go crazy.
It's no coincidence. They're pulling up, and we're talking about UNC, and UNC's a bunch of dogs. So, I mean, there's no coincidence here.
At the same time, I just adjusted my camera so you can see. He's a bully breed of some sorts, but this man loves cuddling up to blankets. That's really all he wants in life, is every blanket in the household. But anyway, so this team, yeah, like you said, I think they shot 49% from the field on the game, and we're like, I think 27% from three. On an off shooting night, to be able to put up 103 points is insane. It shows how well they attack the basket, how well they get to the line. RJ actually gets foul calls at home, which helps. He doesn't get them on the road, which is really frustrating. But yeah, that I think that gets into a little bit about what you're saying is, as well as this team is playing, where they're ranked fourth in the AP poll, they're fifth on KenPom. I mentioned it earlier, but a bunch of brackets that you'll see on Bracket Matrix are projecting the Heels as a number one seed. There still might be another level they haven't hit if they can string together some consecutive performances where, you know, RJ, Ingram, and Cormac are all hitting threes. And, you know, maybe Seth hits one or two off the bench. Washington can get you one off the bench. Any combination of like four, even five of those guys hitting threes collectively, it could be scary hours, as the kids say.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at on it. It's like, all right, we know what RJ is going to do on a nightly basis. We pretty much know what Ingram's going to do on a nightly basis. I mean, this dude's probably going to be like top five in the ACC in double doubles at this point. I mean, he's just an absolute animal on the glass, which I like, because that alleviates pressure from the last guy who we know what they're going to do, which is Armando. So then you look at the rest, like Cormac has yet to hit his shooting stride. And I'm actually kind of happy he hasn't, because if it can hold off a couple more weeks, if he can actually get hot in like February and lead that into the conference tournament, into the NCAA tournament, it's going to come, because like the dude can shoot the basketball. He's just going through a slump right now. And I like that he doesn't let him get the bad shooting out of his game. Like, he still attacks, he still plays really hard defense, but I'm telling you, there's going to be that stretch where he shoots at an insane clip. Then you got Cadeau, who, as we know, is just going to get better and better and better and better. He's nowhere near where he's going to be by conference tournament time. Like, he's going to continue to improve and to become a true lead guard as he gets older, as he gets more mature, as he gets more minutes. And it's that simple. Then I look at the rest, like, we finally got a game from like the Washington Withers duo. If one of them can just give us a good 10 to 14 minutes every game, like that unlocks a whole new layer. And then obviously Trimble's been great. He's not going to put up crazy score numbers, but we know what he's going to do every night. He's going to come in and compete. He's going to attack. I just think there's still some things that haven't even happened for this team yet. And I also think that the ACC is really bad. So there's going to be some times that we get to experiment. And I'm just, man, like when is the last time, I guess the last time the vibes were this high at this point of a season would probably be the redemption year, I guess. Just because we kind of knew that team was going to take care of business in some capacity. But it just, you know, even the Final Four team from 2 years ago, you look at that team in January, the vibes were not high. So, I mean, how does it feel for you to just be at that point where I think this is the, you might know the answer to this. I saw a tweet about it and I can't remember. This is like the highest UNC's been ranked in January since, I want to say, either 16 or 17.
Probably 16. I want to say 16. Gosh, Carolina might have started like 8-0 or 10-0 or something in conference play in 16. I know this is the first time they've been 5-0 in ACC play since that season, but because that was a team that started out preseason one, and really was pretty dominant in conference play. So yeah, I would guess it's the highest they've been ranked since then. And again, I just keep going back to the fact, like, if you had told me even in September, even in November, after those first three bye games that we saw Carolina win, but it was like, okay, they look better. The ball movement's better. Offense looks more cohesive. Defense is still figuring it out. If you had told me then that, 2 months later, Carolina would be a projected one seed, I still would have been in disbelief. Like, I still just didn't see a path to this high of a ranking, this high of a ceiling, to where they are legit national title contenders. And beyond that, I love that they're playing such good defense, that they're taking care of the glass as well, after that was sort of the bugaboo to start the year. But at the same time, like, the offense is still really fun to watch. Like, that, I mean, everybody saw the highlight of the Cadeau to RJ cutting on the baseline to the pass to Armando for the dunk. And then you had RJ throwing the lob to Jalen Withers. Like, all those types of plays that are just exciting basketball. I think there was another one where Cadeau pushed the tempo, had like a really nice, almost full court pass to maybe Ingram or Cormack. It might have been, no, it was Trimble. And then Trimble found, Jalen Washington sort of at the elbow, and he took one dribble and hit Ingram in the corner for three. Like, that's the type of ball movement that I can't, like, UNC hasn't really shined just letting the ball spray around like that since probably the 2019 season. And it's a great place to be when your team is getting national headlines. As a fan, you want the team to stay hungry, but getting national headlines, national rankings, and you have the metrics to back it up, and it's fun to watch. Like, it's unbeatable, especially when the weather sucks. It's like rainy
Yeah,
and dreary in North Carolina, but at least we have a good basketball team.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 each and every week of the college basketball season. We have a special offer that will be available starting on Tuesday, January 9th, and running through Monday, February 12th, the morning after Super Bowl 58. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, in honor of the big game, you can use the bonus code FIELD158 and you'll get $158 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD158. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You'll receive $158 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure that you use that bonus code FIELD158 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create separate accounts in each state. It's easy, it's simple, it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the heart of the college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odd boosts, and my favorite, a nice juicy parlay boost. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today. FIELD158.
Very true. And it's also like, it feels good because, listen, man, let's just go ahead and call it how it is. It just feels good to be able to slap the media in the face like that, because it took y'all so long to jump on this train. Like, it was nothing but like disrespect and question marks. And I don't know if it's PTSD from last year, you know, or you guys are just haters. I really don't know what it is, but I mean, dude, like, I'm not saying that Riley and I were sitting here saying, oh my God, UNC is top four good. We didn't say that, but we did try to tell y'all they were a good team that was probably a top 10 to 15 team. Like, the roster was always there. And, you know, I get the questions and I understand the ACC hasn't looked great. However, what I do like about this is this January ACC schedule grueling in terms of opponents? No, but what is grueling is that 6 of the 9 games are on the road. So, you know, let's just keep the same energy. You know, Riley said it last week. If we go and win all these games on the road, I don't want to hear anything, because every time Purdue or whoever loses on the road, it's always
Marquette.
Like,
Marquette's always losing on the road.
Oh, dude. And then it's always like, oh, dude, nobody wants to go play in Iowa. Like, oh, my God, shut up. Not every place is a freaking, you know, when someone goes and loses at like the Rack to Rutgers, fine. I get it. But not every freaking home stadium is a gauntlet, dude.
And even that, like, come on. Rutgers has been relevant in basketball for like 5 years tops. And even in that stretch, it's like, okay, cool. Y'all made a couple. And this is not a knock on Rutgers. I don't need the New Jersey faithful coming after me. But I'm like, let's stop acting like all these places are so tough to win when you're a good team. I know Nebraska's good. I think Purdue is awesome, but still, I'm like, it's not like Nebraska is the toughest place in the world to play.
Yeah, and it's, you know, that's just my thing, man. It's obviously hard to win on the road, but we cannot pick and choose who we get to say it's hard for and who it isn't. Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of the day, we get Louisville at home. At the time this releases, it will be tomorrow. So we get Louisville at home. And then it's straight to Boston College, which, you know, probably should still be a pretty sizable win. Then you get Wake at home, then you're at FSU and at Georgia Tech, which is a Georgia Tech team that's given Duke fits twice. So, I mean, like, I'm just glad they're getting these reps in, because that was my one concern after non-conference. They hadn't really played a road game. But after what you've seen, even though it's been against opponents who aren't necessarily the greatest, like, do you have any fear about this team playing in a hostile environment whatsoever?
As I look at this road schedule coming up, I mean, there is a chance UNC could lose to any three of those teams, Boston College, Florida State, Georgia Tech, just because, like I said at the start of the show, they're due to have a letdown eventually. They're due to blow a dumb game because it's still a college basketball. Like, that happens. Yeah. Personally, I'm not going to be worried unless it strings to like two or three losses. Again, that's just kind of what you expect when you're a college hoops fan. I don't think, like, honestly, I think they should take care of business against Boston College. Florida State scares me a little bit just because of the length they have, and they've been playing better recently. Georgia Tech on paper should be an easy dub, but Carolina hasn't fared well in Atlanta. And the fact that this team, I mean, they've lost five in a row, but they kind of have some hoopers. Like, I think Kawasi Reeves is a decent wing. I think Miles Kelly is one of the better players in the conference that no one knows about. He's sort of having a down year, but Bay Ndongo is a big time athlete down low. Like, they have pieces. They're just ridiculously inconsistent and haven't exactly been able to, you know, build off the momentum they had from beating Mississippi State and Duke back in late November, early December.
Yeah, it's, I just think that, you know, it's going to really make me mad. I know they're going to drop one. Like, I'm just, it's inevitable, like you said. You know, they're not going to finish the year with three losses or anything like that. I mean, that's just not even possible. They're going to probably, they'll probably split with Duke, and then they'll probably drop about three games that they shouldn't, but it's okay. Like, I won't panic. But what's going to really, really, really make me mad is the fact that when UNC loses, they're going to drop like 10 spots. And when someone else loses, like Purdue loses to Nebraska, and then they get a bounce back win over a really bad team. And it's like, oh, they only moved down one spot. It's like, oh man, if UNC loses, and you, like, I promise you can quote me on this. If UNC loses to Boston College in Chestnut Hill, it will not matter what they do to Louisville. They will go from like fourth to like 12th, 100%. It's so annoying.
I don't think they'll drop out of the top 10. I don't think, even as long as they don't go 0-2 this week, I don't think they'll drop out of the top 10. They might fall to like, 10th, 9th or 10th. But yeah, I'm with you, because Boston College is like kind of feisty. They have a really good big in Quentin Post. Hopefully they still take care of business nonetheless. But yeah, I'm with you that it's sort of been hard to see. I know I mentioned Marquette just a second ago, who seems like they've lost to anybody with a pulse this past month, and they're still ranked like 17th or 18th. And my mind just goes back to last year when Carolina dropped four in a row, and it was like, okay, we never want to see them again. And granted, that team was not very good. They had plenty of chances to get right. But maybe it would have, like, at one point, UNC last year was 15-6 and was unranked. And, you know, maybe they get a little more confidence if they just see a number by their name and some things changes. Who knows? That team could have just had so many roster construction flaws that it didn't matter. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of like this, though. I want Carolina to have this chip on the shoulder as, like, maybe we are the chip on the shoulder blue blood. Maybe that's just who we're destined to be, because we got some dogs.
It's definitely not UCLA, tell you that. I think that's what I like, though. Like, the team chemistry is super high, first off. Like, you see clips every week of something about these guys doing something together, doing something in warm-ups, doing something on the bench. Like, the chemistry of this team is no joke. And, you know, I genuinely think that the only reason a lot of people aren't higher on them is because we don't, like, truthfully, we don't have as much talent as other teams. Like, we have a lot of talent. You know, you put us up next to Kentucky, though. Kentucky's way more talented. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think this happens every year. You know, people really, really, really rate the talent, and talent just doesn't win you a national title. It, like, if talent won you a national title, Kentucky and Duke would be alternating every year. Mm-hmm. And that's just how it goes. I mean, I will say, of the games coming up this month, I think the one that scares me most is at Florida State, because of what happened last time. And I'm like, if that happens again, are we going to be able to pull that out? I mean, plus they're probably going to be a little pissed off because of the lead they blew against us last time. That's a scary one. I also think at Miami is like a trap, scary one. At Syracuse always feels like a scary one. Don't there's just nothing you can do about it. And then, like you said, at Virginia, that's hell for UNC. I mean, and then the way we end it, obviously you're concerned to go play at Cameron, but that's really the only, like, the games I'm circling is at Miami, at Cuse, at Virginia, at Florida State, at Duke. Like, that's the ones I'm concerned about.
How many road games is that?
So in February, at Miami, at Syracuse, at Virginia, that's our only three road games. And then in January, at Florida State, we also have at Boston College and at Georgia Tech. And then after that, at Duke in March is our final road game. So, I mean, I kind of like that we're getting all the road ones out of the way early here. I mean, we got a couple big road ones in February, like I said. But, you know, you look at your last 10 conference games, you've only got to play four on the road. So you get to finish with six at home. So, I mean, that's pretty favorable. Like, of those matchups, what's, like, the two that just scare you the most? We will exclude Duke because that's an obvious, like, you don't want to go play at Cameron.
Right.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, Virginia is so bad. Like you said, I can't remember the last time Carolina won at JPJ, though. I feel like just the fact, like the history there has to be taken into consideration. And probably at Miami. Again, I know Miami just lost to Louisville. They've sort of faltered recently. But they bounced back with a big road win on Virginia Tech. I'm really glad Carolina doesn't have to go play there. That place is always really tough to win. And I think just... You know, that's the type of game where Miami will probably need to beat UNC for its tournament resume. And the fact that they have guards who can take over a game, even though UNC does as well, I think those are probably the two. Yeah, Miami, because they'll need it for their resume and the guard factor. And even though Virginia's terrible, like, I truly think they're a bad basketball team. It's still JPJ, and they're not completely off the bubble yet either. Maybe they're able to summon up something, but I think with, you know, Hubert Davis so far has had Tony Bennett's number. I think he's 3-1 against him. Hopefully that gets to 4-1, but it's any year where you just get Virginia on the road. I don't think we get them at home. It's tough.
It's very tough. I mean, that's honestly the only reason I'm scared of Miami too. When you have guards that can score, like, we've seen it time and time again in college basketball. When you have guards that can score, it kind of like trumps everything else. Like, you can win if you have guards that can score. And yeah, I mean, they've had some bad losses, but they'll probably still be a tournament team if I had to guess. So it's going to be scary. We won't this next thing before we get into our final segment here. We play Louisville tomorrow. I really don't want to spend too much time on it because Louisville, I think anyone who watches college basketball kind of knows the vibes around that program. We don't have to go in depth, you know, just a couple thoughts. And what's your prediction for tomorrow's game? Like what's the result where you'd walk away, like, not that impressed?
If Carolina doesn't cover, like, anything less than a Well, I shouldn't say that. KenPom has a spread at UNC minus 23. Anything less than a 20-point win, it would be a little bit disappointing. Louisville's played a little bit better as of late. They almost got a win over NC State, but like NC State was up, I want to say 13 with a minute and a half, 2 minutes left, and Louisville hit some big shots to get back in it, make it look a little more respectable. But of course, the Miami win. But then again, they lost by double digits at Virginia. They lost by double digits at home to Pitt. They lost by 21 at home to Kentucky. It's not a good basketball team, and it's going to be a 9 o'clock game in Chapel Hill where students have had all day, like all afternoon into the evening to tailgate. First true night game at the Dean Dome since December 29th with students back. Like, it's going to be an electric atmosphere. I'll be in the building. Carolina's should win and win easily.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, man. If it's, you know, I'm not going to be too picky, but if it's anything less than 20, this team lost by 25 points to Virginia, who we were just talking about is awful. I fully expect something crazy to happen. Like, you know, like Sky Clark's going to have like a coming out party or something like that. I don't know what's going to happen, but I mean, dude, there's just no way UNC should not win this game. Like, it should honestly be similar to the Syracuse game in that we should pretty much be able to get to the basket and score whenever, and they should not be able to score. I mean, there's with how well our defense has played, I don't see any reason Louisville should score more than 60. Like, yeah. I genuinely don't.
Their offense is better than it was last year. Their defense, they're up 100 spots in KenPom from where they were last year. The only problem was they were 290th in KenPom last year. Like, their defense is still really bad. They don't have any shooting. Their guard play is questionable. And they still turn the ball over a lot. Not as bad as last year, but they will give you the ball. And considering Carolina just turned Syracuse over tied for the second highest on the season with 17 turnovers, like, they should be able to pressure this Louisville team and get some easy buckets on runouts and on the break and everything.
Yeah, it should. This should definitely be another game where, like, if Hubert really wants to take care of business early, throw an early press at him like you did Syracuse, because you throw an early press at them, you might go on a little 10-12-0 run. But yeah, I mean, nonetheless, it's exciting times, man. Like, there's nothing you could say to bring me and Riley's Carolina basketball high down. Okay. We are on cloud nine. Like, you got to give us, obviously, if you're listening to this, you're probably with us, 'cause you're probably a UNC basketball guy or girl. But, listen, after you have a season like we had last year, to come back and get this, when you changed the roster and we had a lot of questions and we didn't really know about certain guys, it just like amplifies the feeling even more. Like, I probably wouldn't be as excited if UNC had a normal year last year. They lost in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight and, you know, yada, yada, yada. But to just have a historically bad season and then come back with this, it feels great. And that's kind of a perfect segue into the final segment. Y'all know us, man. We got to do our four corners. We're going to give two each, obviously, to give a total of four. What do we think are the four main reasons that UNC is capable of making a Final Four run? I will let you choose. We can snake this. You can give your two, then I can give my two. However you want to do it, I'm down with whatever.
Let's snake it.
I like snake that draft idea. It. I'll let you get the first pick.
All right, this one should be quick. RJ Davis.
Yeah.
Need I elaborate?
That's the easiest way to put it.
Best guard in the country currently. I know I've cited KenPom a lot so far. I'm trying not to. I'm not like the biggest. Well, I just want to let it be known that I don't think Kim Pom is always right. I think his models are very helpful though. So in this sense, I want to give a shout out because RJ is currently seventh in the Kim Pom Player of the Year rankings. Scored over 20 a game 10 times this season, hit multiple threes in 13 straight games, which is the second longest streak in team history. He's on another level right now, and he's the main reason why UNC can win a national title.
Yep. Mine will also be simple. Reason number two, defense. Like our guy T. Hand said on After Dark last night, if this is truly who UNC is on the defensive end, then they are the team to beat. Now, will they be? I don't know. But if their defense is really this good, yes, 100%, they are a Final Four team.
What's your next pick?
Oh, man. See, this we could go so many ways here. I'm trying to decide if I want to go, like, I'll tie this into one, I guess, category. I don't just want to say Harrison Ingram, although I give him a lot of the credit. I will say really good and cohesive transfer class. Because I will include Cormac in that. You know, mm-hmm. Withers has had his moments. Like, the transfer portal was massive for us this year. Without Harrison Ingram and without Cormac, it's not the same, especially on the defensive side of the ball, especially in terms of the physicality. And Ingram's obviously been, like, absolutely fantastic. I think, like I said earlier in the podcast, Cormac's going to get there. He's going to go on an insane shooting stretch. I mean, yeah, I think transfers is the second reason for me because without them, I just don't think the team would be the same.
Mm-hmm. I'll build off that a little bit with my final one, and it's rebounding. Hinted at it earlier, played UNC for really the first 10 games or so this season. Now I think six straight games of out-rebounding their opponent. A lot of that ties into Harrison Ingram, who's just been an animal on the glass. But also Withers. I mean, I know we've sort of given him his flowers. He had six boards in 14 minutes, and he seems like he's coming up with way more 50-50 balls. Jalen Washington has all of a sudden like just gotten way tougher around the basket and has – I don't know what happened, especially when he had that – I can't remember who he dunked on in the first half. Like his play around the basket has been much improved over the past few weeks. So, yeah, I think rebounding, defense, guard play are – kind of the three things that you need to win a title. UNC checks all those boxes.
Yep. And isn't that just absolutely crazy that we just named four things, four reasons why UNC can make a Final Four run. And not once did we have to say anything about like offense or crazy scoring. That's the part that hasn't even come for this group yet. And I said on the last episode, I genuinely just think this team is different. Like, I think the way they win is different. I think their formula is different. Like, it's honestly a thing of beauty, man. I love being able to pull up to these games and know that even if we have an off night, we still have a chance. In years past, if we had off nights, you pretty much know you're taking an L. But, yeah, I mean, that's really it, man. Should be a fairly comfortable one tomorrow in the Dean Dome. Riley, any last thoughts before we leave? Besides go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Let's see. I'm like, do I have anything bold to say? Not really, other than UNC should be ranked third. I rank them third in my ranking. I think I don't think Kansas is better than the Heels, but you know, they have a good resume, so somewhat justified. But losing at UCF is pretty bad. Rank UNC top three. That's all I'm going to say.
Hashtag rank UNC in the top three. The disrespect is crazy. Not only did you lose,
we're disrespected by a one spot difference.
Yeah, that's very, hey, that one spot means a lot, man. Being able to say your top three. Listen, top three gets a medal in the Olympics. Top four doesn't. That's all I'm saying. But
fair point.
This is my thing. Losing to UCF is horrible enough. And then it's like the committee freaks out and gives Kansas all this credit for a huge win at home at Oklahoma. Yeah, the game was in Charlotte, but how about beating Oklahoma on a neutral by like 20?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, man. It's annoying. But you know what else I have to say to that is if UNC just keeps winning, they'll get into that top three. So just let everyone else keep folding around you, keep dropping stupid games. You stay focused on the task at hand. We'll be in that top three. I trust this group. I love this group. Cannot wait to keep watching them. And that will do it for this episode of The Pod is the Roof. You already know we'll be back later this week. Hopefully, Riley's Bucks can get it done. I have no dog in the fight anymore. My team is trash, and they have the number three overall pick. So we'll see you guys next time. Stay safe. Enjoy some Heels Hoops.